Our scripture reading today is from Romans chapter 16, and I'm going to read the 17th to the 20th verses. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. For such persons do not serve our Lord Christ, but their own appetites. And by smooth talk and flattery, they deceive the hearts of the naive. For your obedience is known to all, so that I rejoice over you, but I want you to be wise as to what is good and innocent to what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. When you hear me read this passage in God's Word, you may say, well, that's a strange passage in the Word. It's talking about avoiding others and maybe even talking about avoiding some who are involved in the worship in a local church. But it says to avoid them, and it describes them here. Now, first of all, I'd like to talk about what it's not talking about. It's not talking about those minor disputes and discussions that we have. One of the things I enjoy more than anything else is a good theological debate. To sit down and to just enjoy looking at the Word of God and looking at different possible views of certain passages. I find that it's invigorating for me to talk to someone who may have a slightly different view on a topic and to learn, and hopefully the other person learns as well. This is the type of thing I believe that Paul was speaking about in Titus chapter 3, where he said, but avoid foolish controversies, genealogies, dissensions, and quarrels about the law, for they are unprofitable and worthless. These are things to avoid, but we're not to shun those who hold these different views. And in 2 Timothy 2, he says, have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. So we're not to just live our lives fighting with one another over doctrinal points, but there's nothing wrong with our discussing them and learning from one another. What he is talking about here is the false gospels that existed already in the time of Paul. Now, I want you to think about this. The church had just started. There were Christians coming into the assemblies of God's people, and already there were developing false gospels, teachings that were opposed to the true gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, Paul speaks very harshly of those who were involved in such things. Let me read for you some verses in Galatians chapter 1, where he says this, I am astonished. Now, that's shocking already, isn't it? What is he astonished about? I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. You may have in your translation something that's a bit ambiguous here. In some translations it says that they're turning to another gospel, which is not another. If your translation reads like that, you have to understand that the words another are two different words. And the first one means another of a different kind. The second one means another of the same kind. So what he's saying here is there are those who are turning to a gospel which is fake. It's of a different kind. It's not like the true gospel. There are some who would distort the gospel of Christ. Now, you want to hear some strong words? I want to tell you that Paul had no time for those who proclaimed false gospels. It wasn't his attitude to say, well, you know, you believe what you want and I'll believe what I want and we'll all get to heaven together. That's not the view that Paul had. Listen to what he says. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we have preached to you, let him be accursed. That's strong wording. It really is. And he goes on and says it again. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. What I'd like to do is to skip around the Word of God for us for a little while, for us to get an idea of how prominent this theme is. And I'll tell you, my friends, it's as important today as it was in the day of Paul. In his day, there were developing false gospels. In our day, they're all over the place. And we as Christians have to be so careful that we're not drawn into one, that we're not led to believe something that is totally different from what the Word of God has to say. Let's take a look. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul says this, talking about those who espouse these false doctrines. He says, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. False apostles, deceitful workmen. Now, I want you to remember, he's talking about people who claim to be part of the church. He's talking about people who may be sitting in the pew with you. He's talking about people who may be standing before you and supposedly proclaiming the gospel. Jesus had exactly the same message. He warned us that false gospels and false apostles would exist in the world. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Those are very strong words. They come like sheep. You think they're one of you. Remember that often the Lord Jesus referred to us as his sheep, and he's the shepherd. Well, these are false sheep. They come in sheep's clothing, but underneath, what are they? They're wolves. In other words, they're ready to devour the sheep. They're ready to draw them astray to something that is dishonest and false. Well, that's not the only place that our Lord had something to say about that. In the same passage, he says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. In other words, and he's connecting this with the false preachers, in other words, there are going to be those who in that day, and he's talking about the final day, will come to him and say, what he says here. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, cast out demons in your name, and do mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Now I want you to understand, he's talking about people who are claiming to be part of the church. He's not talking about people who, are saying the church is false, stay away from it. He's talking about those who are false prophets within the church. In Matthew 24, he says this, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and will perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if it were possible, even the elect. And then in Matthew chapter 10, as he sends his people out to proclaim the word, he says, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. What does he mean? He means, you're my sheep, but I'm sending you out into a world where there are wolves who want to devour you the same way real wolves devour real sheep. And they're ready to gobble you up. And they're ready to tear you away from the teachings that I have given you. Well, you know, we should think that that would be enough. But we find that the other writers of Scripture also have basically the same message. In the book of Jude, that little book right before Revelation, Jude talking about these same false prophets describes them this way. He says, these are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear. Shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted. Doesn't sound very good, does it? You see, the interesting thing here is, what we had last night when we gathered together to have a meal together is something that was very common in the early church. In fact, some believe that this was the experience every single week, that they would gather together and then they would have a meal together. And so he's saying to them that in the midst of your love feasts, and that's the term that was used for them, in the midst of your love feasts, there are going to be those who are hidden reefs, shepherds feeding themselves, not the sheep, waterless clouds. You know what a waterless cloud is? The clouds have water in them. There's a waterless cloud. That's how they're described. Well, we turn to the writings of the Apostle Peter and we find exactly the same thing. Now, I'm emphasizing this because it's a truth that we need today. Peter says this, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. He goes on to say, for no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke as God, from God, as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And listen to his next statement. But false prophets, who also arise among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. I could turn to passage after passage that teach us the same thing, that teach us that we must be aware, because there will be false prophets in our midst. And we need to be prepared. We need to be able to distinguish one from another. That's part of my responsibility, by the way. The Word of God tells us that one of the duties of church leaders is to prepare those in the pews to be ready to find the false teachers and run from them. Listen to this. Here are the duties of the leaders in the church. It says in Ephesians chapter 4, "And he gave some apostles and prophets and evangelists, the shepherds and teachers." He's talking about those who shepherd the people of God. I have that responsibility. But what is my responsibility? Is it my job to do all of the work of the ministry? To find the false prophets? Is it my job to do all of the work of reaching out into our community with the true gospel? Well, listen to what he says next. He says, these leaders in the church, here's their job, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. He's saying that the responsibility of church leaders is not so much to do all that's involved in the gospel preaching, to do all that's involved in ministry. No, that's not our job. Our job is to equip the saints. Now, who's he talking about when he says the saints? He's talking about you. The word saint has often been misinterpreted to say that there are certain people who are especially holy and we're going to call them saints. No. The word saint means a set apart one. One who has been set apart for the Word of God. And that is every single Christian. Do you know that if you know the Lord Jesus, you're a saint? That doesn't make you any better than anybody else, but it does make you part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. My job, and I emphasize this, is to train you, and that's what I try to do from week to week, that you will be capable of distinguishing the true from the false, that you will be able to understand what Jesus Christ once of you in your life. This is exactly what Paul goes on to say. He says, the purpose is so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness of deceitful schemes. You see, there are those who hear one preacher and they say, okay, I'll go with him. You know, he sounds good. I mean, pretty good looking fella. And, you know, he knows how to preach. And we're going to go along with him. And then the next week they hear another preacher teaching something totally different. Maybe it's a false gospel. Oh, he's young and he's handsome and has a nice family. So I'm sure he's preaching the truth. And they go along with him. And before you know it, they're just tossed everywhere, believing whatever happens to be preached at the moment. God says, we are no longer to be tossed to and fro, believing every wind of doctrine that comes along. Paul, one day when he was leaving the area of Ephesus, was on an island, and he called together the leaders of the church in Ephesus. And there, he gave them some teaching about what they were to do after he left. And what he taught them is basically the same thing we've been reading all along. Listen to the words. Pay careful attention to yourself and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Now listen to these words. To care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, but from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things and drawing away disciples after them. You see, even in Paul's day, when the church was just beginning, there were false doctrines being taught and false teachers who were teaching them. Our job is to set an example so that people will understand the truth by what we say and will understand how they're to live by following in our footsteps. You know, I read this passage in God's Word in Philippians chapter 3, and I often pray, Lord, I'm not capable of this. I can't do it. But with your power, this is what I want to be in my life. And I hope this will be what you want in your life. Listen to these words. Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example that you have in us. For many of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Paul could say, and I don't know how many of us can say this, Paul could say, imitate me. Do what I do, and you'll be following Christ. Oh, one of the goals in my life is that people will look at me and see the Lord Jesus Christ. That people will see in my behavior and my teaching, the teaching and the life of Christ. I don't believe I've gotten there yet, but I'm working on it. And that should be the goal of each and every one of us, that we will live in such a way that there are sheep who can follow us. And following us, they'll be following Christ. Do you understand how serious Bible doctrine is? You know, in the Word of God, we have this great and glorious teaching that God has given to us. And yet, there are false teachers in the world. Even today. Do you know how seriously God considers the fact that there are falsehoods imitating the gospel and claiming to be the gospel? We read this in 2 John. He says, for many deceivers have gone out into the world. That amazes me. That even in that day there were many deceivers. This is the way John tells us to treat the deceivers. He says, if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, the teaching of the gospel. Do not receive him into your house. Wow. Keep him out. Don't let him come in. Nor give him any greeting, for whoever greets him partakes part in his wicked deeds. He's saying to us, when we meet the false teachers, what are we to do? Have nothing to do with them. What are we to do then? Well, our job is to know the Word of God well. To know it so well that we can distinguish the truth from the false. That's our job. That's what he says in Philippians chapter 4. He tells us what we're supposed to think about. Did you know the Word of God tells us what we're supposed to think about? He says, excuse me, in that chapter, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. God wants us to focus on the truth, to focus in our lives on what he has taught in the Word of God. There's so many people who spend their time learning what the false teachers teach and never really learning what the Word of God has to say. Colossians chapter 3 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. How do we make these things practical in our own lives? How do we deal with this issue that falsehood is going out into the world? Well, first of all, we have to realize that not everyone who claims to be a preacher of the Word of God is really one who is teaching the Word of God. I think you may immediately be thinking of the people that I'm thinking of. Oh, they're dressed very neatly. They carry a Bible in their hands, and there they go, usually two by two, knocking on your door. And if you welcome them in, their false gospel will be taught to you in all clarity. In most cases, they don't know the Word of God. They've been taught 2 or 3 or 5 or 10 verses, and they know them well, but that's all they know. And they want to teach you that falsehood and draw you away. The Word of God says, don't even welcome them into your house. When we turn on the TV, and I think there are some great preachers on TV, by the way, I'm not disputing that. But on TV, there are false teachers. One of the greatest falsehoods of our day is what you would call the gospel of wealth and health. You know, there are those who will teach, well, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to get rich. You've heard them, haven't you? You've heard them. They're all over the place, and especially in the airwaves on the TV. Oh, and they look great. I mean, they're rich. They're all dressed up in their finery. And they're telling you that if you will just believe what they're teaching, you'll be rich and you'll be healthy. And that's the sign of a Christian. Christians are all wealthy and they're all rich. And they're all healthy. I remember one man who got drawn in to this kind of teaching. Let me tell you what happened to him. He listened to one of those preachers, and I won't name the preacher, but he listened to one of those preachers still preaching the gospel, his gospel on TV. And he heard the man preach, and he said, if I just believe, I'm going to be healthy and I'm going to be wealthy. And so he believed and he trusted. And he went about seeking to do the things that this man was teaching. And a few months later, he was poorer than he was before. He didn't gain any wealth. And he had certain sicknesses that seemed to be getting worse and worse. And do you know what statement he made? He says, "This Christianity doesn't work." And from then on, he would have nothing to do with any church. What happened to him? He was drawn in by this false gospel. He believed that if he just trusted, he would become wealthy. And that's not the gospel. And so he didn't become wealthy. And then he rejected everything. The Lord Jesus and every teaching that he could find in the Word of God. There are those who will teach you that if you truly believe in Christ, you'll be healed of all your ailments. You've seen them. Oh, you can have deliverance from any problem or difficulty or illness that you have. You know, if that were true, there would never be death. Think about that for a moment. If I could be healed of all my ailments over and over and over again, why can't I live to be 200? It's a false gospel. And we need to focus in on learning the truth so that we can reject the falsehood. One of the greatest blessings in my life has been to meet people who are both sick and poor, but love the Lord Jesus. God never said that if you believe, you will be relieved of all illnesses and you will be made rich. Never said that. And some of those who have loved the Lord with all their hearts are people who struggle financially. And that's okay. Because they love the Lord and they seek nothing more than to serve Him. Oh, yes, it would be wonderful if they could receive wealth, but that's not the essence of the gospel. Let me tell you what the gospel really is. Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross of Calvary. He died that men and women might have everlasting life. And those who trust in Him will live for all eternity. Those who trust in Him will have life forevermore. And the death that they will experience will merely be a transition from one life to a greater life. And yes, they will be healthy in the world to come. And they will have wealth for all that God gives to them will be the joy, the peace, and the happiness of knowing the Savior. My friends, the Word of God is telling us that we are to watch out for those who are false teachers, reject them, but trust in the true gospel. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Next week, we're going to be looking at something that is a little more upbeat than what we've looked at today. For we'll be finishing our studies in the book of Romans next week. But I want you to understand that as Paul is wrapping up this wonderful doctrinal letter, he warns us that we be faithful to the Word and we distinguish the true from the false. If you know Jesus, may it be that each one of us will be examples, that people will see us as those who know and love the truth of God. If you've never come to know Him, I invite you today to turn from sin and to turn to Christ, that you might have life. Let us pray together, my friends. Our Father, we love You with an everlasting love, for that love will last into all eternity. And we thank You, our Father, that You have blessed us, that You have given to us the joy of knowing You as Savior and Lord. Help us to distinguish the truth from falsehood, to run away from falsehood and to embrace the truth, that we might be faithful in all things to our Savior. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.